And welcome back to the latest and greatest episode of the Shaven Points Podcast. My name is Jaden May, joined as always by my co-host Quentin Crisco. Coming off an incredible college football week, 4-0 by me, 3-3 by him. We won't talk about NFL, but how you doing tonight, Quentin?
Doing good, man. I was actually up on NFL, two straight weeks up. So getting my swagger back on it, getting feeling good. But
I got to get it back this week.
Right, exactly. We're about this week. We're not about last week or the week before, and especially not the week before that, because we are about the here and now.
Absolutely. So how are we doing tonight?
Doing good, man. I'm doing good. Feeling refreshed. Feeling ready for a Chicago Bears victory this week. But
Chicago Bears victory
Thursday night.
Pre-watch.
Oh yeah, it's rare as a Bears fan that I get to like really root for it and enjoy a victory. It's been a while, so like I'm gonna enjoy this one.
So we have Bears Panthers on Thursday night. What's the worst case scenario here? Tie?
No, I think a loss is worse than a tie.
But a tie, if the Panthers win another game, basically drops you out of the top three.
Right, but if the Panthers win this game, they already won that other game.
But they could still win a game down the stretch, though, to where...
They could, but the outcome of this game isn't determining that. You know, I mean, I'd rather them have one extra win and a tie than two extra wins for draft position.
True. Okay, I got you. I'm just saying it hurts you both ways because you're already at two wins for the season, so a tie gives you a half win. So it screws up your Bears pick and the Panthers pick is the only reason, because it gives both teams a half a win.
Panthers would still be slotted for the number one pick with a tie, and the Bears would jump ahead of any other two win, three win.
Panthers with a tie solidifies them number two behind the Cardinals.
Does it?
Yeah, Cardinals.
Or no, a tie. I said a tie.
I know. So if the Cardinals lose out and the Carolina loses out, Carolina's the two pick with a tie.
Wait, one win. Oh, they both only have one win. Oh, well, I'm not worried about the Cardinals. They're getting Kyler back.
Yeah. But, okay. So this week, we're going to do some bets. Then we're going to do some tier rankings. Then we're going to do some college. And at the end, we'll do a little bit of model talk. But you know where you can find the model queue?
Shaven-points.com.
Shaven-points.com. Go to shaven-points.com right now. You can subscribe for free. It doesn't cost anything. It don't cost nothing. You just go subscribe. You get all the picks. You get the model picks. College football just started a couple days ago. Here pretty soon, we'll have that college football model up and rolling for you to where you can just open your email every day. College basketball sent straight to your phone every single day. So if you've been looking for those model picks on college basketball, they will soon be to you. All you have to do is go to shaven-points.com, subscribe for free, and you can get all of our content, all of the picks, all of your wildest dreams will come true. Whatever you go to shaven-points.com and subscribe.
And if subscribing is not your thing, just go to the website and go click on picks.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Also free. Don't cost nothing. All right. So we'll get into anything you want to. We could kind of talk about last week's NFL whenever we go to tier maker. So let's just drop right into it. Thursday night game. All right. We just talked about it. Bears, Panthers. This is my lock of the century, lock of the millennium, lock of life. This is a can't lose this pick. So I'm taking America in this game because America wins. When you get two titans of their craft, like the Carolina Panthers versus the Chicago Bears, Tyler Badgett versus Bryce Young, Adam Thielen out there catching slant routes, Miles Sanders running the rock 17 times for 42 yards. Like, it's incredible to watch. DJ Moore might do something. So I'm taking America in this game, and it can't lose, because if you're not watching this game, I mean, this could be the most watched game all year, including the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I'm taking America.
And who's America? Just to clarify.
America.
What is their mascot?
People, like? An eagle.
Well, I'm going to assume that's Bears.
I'm taking America. The people. Okay. It's the people's game.
How do you bet on that?
The over? But I'm not taking the over. I'm taking America. because America wins with this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, America does win. And just to clarify, Justin Fields might be back this game.
He hasn't practiced yet.
No, there is no practice. Thursday night.
Oh, you don't practice? You don't practice. Okay.
Well, no, good to know. Thursday night games, the teams don't put on pads all week.
True. But yeah, I'm taking America because it can't lose.
And what does that mean?
It means I'm going to win because I get to watch the game.
Okay, so you're not actually betting it.
I'm taking America.
Okay. I'm not betting this game. I'm staying away. I thought about taking the under here, but Justin Fields has a mean streak of overs that I'm not messing with. If Fields is back, then, I mean, there were rumors that he was going to play last week, and they didn't end up playing him. But so I think there's a real chance that he's back this week, which makes me not want to touch the under. If it's Bajan, I like the under. But
if it's Bajan, take Cole Kmet for anytime touchdown, right?
Yeah. Maybe.
He loves Cole Kmet.
He did.
Who doesn't love Cole Kmet?
I'm still lukewarm on him, but we'll see. I'm
warm. America loves Cole Kmet.
Yeah. All right. We moving on?
Yeah. I was just taking. Okay. I just wanted to shout out the best game of the season so far.
Okay. Now we got Colts, Patriots. I got nothing on this game. What do you got?
All right. Colts, Patriots. We have Minshew Mania going up against Mac Daddy himself, the macaroni machine. Mac Jones and the New England Patriots. Kendrick Bourne went out on IR a couple of weeks ago for the Patriots. He was the only receiver that seemed like he could get anything going for him. Colts have looked frisky. Jonathan Taylor's starting to do his thing a little bit. Michael Pittman looks all right. Patriots defense still isn't horrendous, still coached by Bill Belichick, but they're definitely kind of sneaking into that tank territory. I don't know if I want to bet against a Bill Belichick team that knows it's tanking. So I'm taking under 43.5 here. I don't think the Patriots are going to do too much to win this game. I think they're going to play a vanilla offense, vanilla defense. But I think Bill Belichick's going to do everything he can to not try to win this game. But he's also not just going to let the Colts win either. And I think that's a recipe for an under. And at 43.5, it's a pretty big number for two lackluster offenses, in my opinion. So, yeah, it can be under 43.5 this game.
Yeah, I feel like the Colts have been, like, they've been in so many weird games this year where it's ended up being a lot of points. But I think that's almost entirely at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, which is just has a history of weird things happening at it. Like, so I think in Foxborough, that's a pretty safe bet.
Like, I could honestly see the Patriots losing out and having, like, a situation every game where they're, like, within four, within five, or within three late in the game. And Bill Belichick's like, let's just give it to Zeke four times.
I mean, I could see it. I don't know what else his plan is to get to the top of the wins list, so.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically dead in the water at this point as far as, like,
I mean, he needs,
this
like,
season
what,
goes?
16 wins to get be the at the very top, most head coach wins of all time.
Like, but it's a lot easier to do that when you have a Drake Mayer, Caleb Williams, than a Mac Jones.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how else he gets those 16 wins unless he goes and finds a quarterback. So.
Yeah, so maybe Justin Fields.
Maybe. I'd be shocked, but maybe.
You don't think he likes Justin Fields?
I think he might. I don't know if he's going to give much for him. I think other teams might.
I like that. But, yeah, give me a first pick of the night, Colts, Patriots, under 43.5.
All right. Now, you got Texans going to Cincinnati. You got anything on this?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, so Bengals coming off a big-time win versus the Bills, who we'll get to later in the podcast. But I think Bengals got up for that game. They looked really good. Jamar Chase didn't do a whole lot. But going back home to a team that we've been saying since the offseason, don't sleep on this team. CJ Stroud's a stud, man. And I said it in the offseason, like, I don't love Dalton Schultz, but, like, he's got to throw to somebody. Dalton Schultz is hot in the streets right now. Tank Dell, hot in the streets. Noah Brown, 154 and two touchdowns, hot in the streets right now. CJ Stroud absolutely slinging that thing. I like Texans plus 7 in this game, and I don't know if the Texans can win, but this is an ideal backdoor cover situation in this game. I feel like if the Texans are down 13, 10, 9 or something like that, they can go on a last minute drive. I mean, they showed it multiple times this past week, going on a late drive to either go win the game or take a lead. And yeah, so give me Texans plus 7 here. I feel like it's a big number for a hot team, a hot quarterback, a good defense, not a good defense, but the defense is progressively playing better under D'Amico Ryans. Yeah, they're frisky defense. Offensive line's playing all right for them. So yeah, give me Texans plus 7 in this spot. I love CJ Stroud. He's my favorite quarterback in the draft. I've been on the CJ Stroud bus for years now. I mean, we go back to last year in college football. I've been a Stroud boy for a while. So yeah, give me the Texans. Give me the Texans plus 7 in this spot.
I look at this game. I see a frisky defense who's not exactly shown that they won't give up points, but that they've come up in situations where they've needed.
Yeah.
And a Texans offense seems to be clicking on all cylinders against a Bengals offense that seems to finally be clicking on all cylinders again and really operating well. And a Bengals defense that has been fine, but really dependent on interceptions. CJ Stroud hasn't thrown interceptions yet, really. Just the one.
Just
one. That's what this Bengals defense kind of relies on that. So I'm sitting here looking at this saying, give me the over 46.5. I think the Texans are going to push the Bengals for all they got. I think, like, I thought about taking Texans plus 7, but I ended up feeling like the over was the better bet for me here, so I took the over.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Texans keep it close. I think they're frisky enough. And I think you don't really have look-ahead spots in the NFL, but if there was anything such as a look-ahead spot with the Bengals, I mean, yeah, tough division. And I think they're just trying to get through this week, move on to – I think they have, like, 3 division games in the next 5 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. So they're just trying to get through this week, get a win. And those are the times where you see these maybe lesser teams fighting for wild card spots really come and backdoor and maybe even steal a win in the right scenario. So, but I do like the over as well.
So one thing that's weird on that note, like, NFL teams do have weeks where they game plan less, right? Like, yeah. And it's usually like teams will say like that they're like, this is where we're at with our record. This is who we're playing in these upcoming weeks. Like, we're going to take it easier this week because we're playing.
Yeah.
Panthers or something. And
you can afford a loss. You can afford a loss, but you got to win your heads up matchup versus X team.
But it's interesting though, because the Bengals, like, they kind of used all that goodwill with their rough start. You know, they're walking a very thin line. It's interesting. I like your bet. I like my bet. It's just an interesting thought there.
Yeah, so Bengals, they have Ravens next week, followed by the Steelers. After the Steelers, they have Jags, Colts, Vikings, Steelers again. So, I mean,
the Colts is their that game where they can do that.
Yeah, possibly, but I mean, I think versus the Ravens next week is going to be a big, big time game for them. So
yeah,
I mean, I like the Texans in this game, but yeah, I like the over as well. But I'm trying to stay away from totals because I can't seem to win them. I can't seem to win anything. But
speaking of the AFC North, we got Browns going to Baltimore take on the Ravens. You got anything on this game?
Nope.
All right, so this one is all me. And I looked at the under on this. I kind of liked it because...
What's the spread on this game?
6.
6. In the Browns' favor, I'm assuming.
No. Ravens minus 6. So I looked at the under. I want to say it was something around 40.
37 right now.
Or 37. Okay, my initial thought was 38. I was like, no, it had to be higher than 38. So 37. I thought about it just because... 2 really good defenses, division games. The under is often the way to go because these opponents know each other really well, especially 2 good defenses. But instead, 37 just feels like a hard number for me to live with there. Instead, I'm taking the Browns plus 6. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think it's going to be ugly. I think it's going to be some nasty, gritty, dirty AFC North football that ends within 1 score.
So that's what I thought when the Ravens played the Lions and they absolutely shit pumped them. I have a question for you. Who's the best team in football right now?
Ravens.
See, I agree 100%. And I don't think Deshaun Watson's that great. And I know division games are different, but Browns have gone win-loss, 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 win-loss all year. Coming off of a win, Baltimore coming off of a... No, they're not. They weren't on a bye. They might as well have been on a bye. Who's their backup? Tyler Huntley was throwing touchdown passes to Odell Beckham Jr. in like the third quarter. But I mean, this seems like a Ravens spot to me all day, every day. But I'm not taking it. You're taking it. I don't want to poo-poo your pick.
I mean, I see the best defense in football in the Browns.
And best defense in football by far.
Yeah. And a division game with the best defense division in game. Football, I think they'll keep it close.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't argue with that too much, but it just seems like Ravens spot to me. But
and also, I've been so high on the Ravens the last few weeks of betting them as big favorites. The tide's going to turn at some point.
That is a big number for a division game for a defense as good as the Browns is. But
yeah,
Ravens defense is also pretty good. And then it's like,
I'm not saying Browns or anything. I just think it's just games are weird.
Yeah. But to me, if you just look at this game, it's like, I think the Ravens can score 17. So it's like, can the Browns score more than 10? We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. But I'll tell you this. I hate the number 6. I just really like this spot. Like, yeah. I would love to get it at 7, but that's not happening.
Yeah, usually if I'm betting dogs, I want the football number. If I'm betting favorites, I'll take a weird number. So maybe that's why I lean Ravens here.
Yeah. All right. Next up here, we got Brock Purdy taking the 49ers to Jacksonville to play the Jaguars. What you got here?
Yeah, so, I mean, Niners coming off a bye. Maybe Christian McCaffrey is getting healthy. Niners are kind of in a free fall right now, but they're 3-point favorites on the road against the Jags. I think the Jags are getting very undervalued right now. They played really, really good here these last couple of weeks, also coming off a bye. But I think Trevor Lawrence he was the prince that was promised, but he hasn't really turned into that. This could be his coming out party here. And Jags plus 3 at home versus the Niners. Niners having to go across country right after time change, which I don't think really matters too much. But give me the Jags plus 3 in this spot as a home dog. I mean, I love this spot for them. Niners haven't been playing great football. I don't know who they're getting back. I don't know who's healthy, who's not. But, I mean, the Jags are just a pretty good team at home versus a Niners team that hasn't looked great lately. I mean, I really thought this should have been closer to 2 or 1, if not a pick 'em. So, at 3, give me the Jags plus 3 in this game.
I really strongly considered that bet. Like, I did, and the main reason I wiped it is just because 49ers coming off a bye with Kyle Shanahan. But that's not enough for me to say I don't like the bet. Like, it was just enough for me to say, not this week. Like, was just like, I like some others better, so I stayed away. But I do like
both them. Are coming off a bye, so that is to be considered as well.
I didn't realize the Jags were too, but I give Shanahan a little more.
Travis Etienne's been an absolute terror lately, so
yeah. All right, next up here, got the Green Bay Packers going to Pittsburgh.
That's all you big dog.
Steelers. And 3-point spread. Steelers are favored. Give me the Steelers here. Steelers minus 3. And this is more than anything a bet against Jordan Love. I mean, I just think this defense is going to chew them up. The Steelers defense is like really starting to play some good football lately. Like the secondary, we talked about it in the offseason that the secondary was probably going to take some time. So it was a lot of new pieces, including a rookie. Like an early second round pick rookie, but still a rookie defensive backs. They need time. There's some adjustment there, but those defensive backs are starting to play really well now, combined with a defensive line that is just filthy. Like JJ Watt, Cam Hayward just got back, Keanu Benton in the middle. When Larry Ogunjobi's your number 4 D lineman, you feel really good about what you're throwing out there. And I think this defense is going to make life really difficult for Jordan Love. I think the Packers are really going to struggle to keep pace in this game because of that. Not that I think the Steelers are going to throw up a ton of points or anything. I still think, you know, it's going to be like Steelers 15, Packers 9 kind of game. Like, just disgusting football. But I think that still covers Steelers minus 3.
Okay, so but we're about halfway through the season, or are halfway through the season now. Packers are 3-5. Do you think, looking at all the teams in the bottom half, so I mean we have Colts, Raiders, Bucks, Packers, Titans, Broncos, Rams, Giants, Bears, Patriots, Panthers, Cardinals. Out of all those teams, do you think the Green Bay Packers might be in the worst situation possible? Because, like, you look at some of these other teams, like Tampa, it's like, yeah, maybe they can get it done with Baker, maybe they can't, but they're not married to him. Raiders, new head coach, maybe they find some life, maybe they don't. Titans kind of starting to like Will Levis. Broncos are screwed no matter what. Rams kind of have their picks back. They can kind of start to rebuild. But then, I mean, you look at the Packers, and you got to make a decision on Jordan Love. But he's shown signs of kind of being good. But, I mean, they waited so long to play him that it's like they're either going to have to pay this guy or he's going to walk. And you're not getting a free agent quarterback to Green Bay.
They locked him up on a very team-friendly deal right before the season where they can pretty much wipe their hands of him next year if they want to, but they can keep him around if they want to.
Okay, but, I mean, I still feel like they're in a terrible situation. All things
honestly, they have aligned themselves to flip stuff very quickly with the way they've drafted. Like, they had, like, something ludicrous, like 12 draft picks last year, and they have stacked
those. It doesn't matter if you don't have a quarterback.
No, but that's what I'm saying, though. If they get a quarterback, they have aligned themselves to flip stuff pretty quickly. Like that's the thing you got to remember about Green Bay is they're in Green Bay, Wisconsin. They have an entire region dependent on their economic viability. And they run shit like that is the truth, because it is the truth. The Packers start to suck for a few years. That area of the state is going to go through a serious downturn. There is so much built up around the Packers and the Packers bring in. Yeah, like they need to be good, and they align themselves as such. So they've aligned themselves to do a quick flip as long as they can find a quarterback, which makes stuff really interesting for them as like losses start to look more and more appealing.
Yeah. So are they the best argument in all of professional sports for a salary cap?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you look at like whenever the salary cap is brought up, you look at baseball and people bring up teams like the A's or the Royals or some of the smaller market teams like, oh, we don't even have a chance to survive. I mean, the Packers would be absolutely screwed in a non-capped league. But they've consistently been good for...
I don't know that they would, if I'm being honest. Actually, no, you're right. Because they don't have Jerry Jones money behind them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Rams cap, like,
yeah.
Every time, like, no, none of their guys, like, they may draft well, but nobody's going to stick around when they can make twice as much going to a team like the Rams, the Cowboys.
I mean, they have to be the Giants. Best case for it. They don't have an owner. You know, I mean, I think it's as simple as that. They have to be.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of like my biggest point. Yeah. And that was like, but I mean, I don't care if
you have a sheet of paper that says you're an owner.
Yeah.
You're not an owner. Like, you don't have billions of dollars behind you.
In an uncapped league, I'm sure there's a bunch of wealthy people in that part of the world that might throw their money at them. But I mean, it's still not Jerry Jones money. It's still not who's the owner of the Rams. It's not Kroenke money. And then Arthur Blank. The guy who just bought the Redskins or Commanders, like, and then the guy up in Seattle, like, there's some deep pockets in the NFL, to where, I mean, that might be the number one case for like parity and salary cap compared to an uncapped league that anybody has.
Yeah, I can buy it. I mean, it has to be right there with the Oakland A's.
Yeah, and I mean, they're getting to a point now to where, I mean, if they just burn that franchise alive, I don't think anybody would care at this point.
All right, moving on.
Tricks.
Lions at Chargers. What do you got?
So Lions at Chargers. All right, Justin Herbert. I'm talking to the Charger fan out there right now. Justin Herbert may not be good. Is he good? I don't know. I mean, a couple of years ago, you were screaming at the top of your lung that the Dolphins were the stupidest team in the NFL for passing on Justin Herbert. Here we are 3 years later, and it's like, Would you rather have Tua or would you rather have Justin Herbert? I think most people at this point in their career might take Tua. I don't know if that's a knock on Justin Herbert or just the steps that Tua's taken forward or the coaching that Tua has received in the meantime and the weapons that Tua's received. But let's not act like Justin Herbert doesn't have weapons either.
I think there's a really strong case to be made of Justin Herbert
had a good rookie year,
about as ideal of a situation as you can get as far as weapons go.
And had a great rookie year and then never improved. He hasn't necessarily been bad, but when you have the start that he had, and at best you've stayed perfectly average or even with how you started your career, I would say that's a disappointment.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that hurts him, like, because I still don't think he's a bad quarterback.
I mean, but I think he is very clearly a top, like, 8 quarterback in the NFL. And the bar is low right now. The bar is very low.
I wouldn't
low.
Say top 8.
Name 8 quarterbacks you'd rather have over Justin Herbert. The bar is really low right now in the NFL.
Trevor Lawrence. Okay. Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
Josh Allen. Okay. Dak Prescott. Jalen Hurts. Tua Tagovailoa, CJ Stroud. How many am I at?
That's 8. So top 9 quarterback in the NFL? I mean, I think you could argue against one or two of those too. Like
Kirk Cousins.
Again, you're getting into really gray area with like Dak, Jared, Kirk. Like you're Jared getting into really gray area. It's not a high bar right now.
Anthony Richardson.
Now we're just being ridiculous.
No, I mean, you have to take into account everything. You have to take in salary. You have to take in age. I mean, you have to take in everything when you're talking about these conversations. Because if it's rather, would you rather have this guy or this guy? I mean, most of the time, guys like Kirk Cousins or Dak or some of these other guys that might be middle of the road, yeah, you would technically rather have them if it's this for that. But it's not this for that because money is a factor.
The question was just top 8 quarterbacks. The best 8 quarterbacks in the NFL.
I mean, I would still take Dak over him. I would still take Kirk Cousins over him. I would still take CJ Stroud over him.
You see, I just disagree on some of those. I just disagree.
What has he shown that proves that he's better than a Dak Prescott or a Kirk Cousins or a Josh Allen?
I mean, he's not better than Josh Allen.
Okay, but, well, Josh Allen's not better than Dak Prescott.
Just the simple fact that he's not cemented to the pocket and can win outside of it, that beats Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins is an MVP candidate before he tore his Achilles.
Hey, he was playing the best ball of his career. I can't tell you he wasn't, but the fact that he has to win with his arm makes me prefer Herbert.
I mean, Dak Prescott's better than Josh Allen.
We're not going there.
Look at the numbers this season. Look at the numbers going into this season. I don't know how long we're going to have this conversation and how many games have to happen. And it just keeps happening week after week after week, by season by season by season, that they're the same person.
I just don't agree.
I don't think – I'm not saying Dak is good. I'm just saying Josh Allen's not as good as everybody thinks he is.
I mean, you might be right. He's probably not as good as everyone thinks he is.
But he's better than Justin Herbert.
He can do in moments is better than Dak. It just is.
Okay. Well, the Dak's got to be better than, hands down, better than Justin
Dak's
Herbert.
More consistent. That Dak's more consistent. Dak is like better at like game to game being the same guy. But Josh Allen's moments are incredible. That's what you get with Herbert too. You get these moments of like, holy
what
shit,
moments?
Did he really just do that when he throws a ball through fucking a window this big and straight into his receiver when he's on the run enders. I mean, no, it's not as that, like, on some of them, maybe, but you know what? He makes some incredible plays in big time moments.
Justin Herbert's not a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah, I don't agree.
Okay. Well,
the bar is super low right now for
taking over 48. I'm taking over 48 and a half in this game. I think Jared Goff is by far the superior quarterback in this matchup. I like the Lions to score a lot of points in this game, and I think the Chargers can slightly keep up with Austin Eckler and some of the guys they have going. Losing Mike Williams for the Chargers was the biggest loss that I could have ever imagined. I thought Quentin Johnson might be able to step up. I didn't like Quentin Johnson in the draft. I didn't like him coming out of TCU. But I thought, hey, we lost Mike Williams week 4. You're a rookie. You have the same body type. you're fast, you can do all these things. Maybe you can kind of fill in that position. You have a good quarterback throwing you the ball. You'll be able to step up. Quentin Johnson's dog shit. He's terrible. I don't know this for a fact, but I'm pretty sure I saw him, like, he's like one of the worst graded rookies of all time as far as receivers go. And don't quote me on that, but you can quote me on that if I'm right. It's the Keenan Allen show. It's the Everett show. And it's the Eckler show with a little bit of Herbert thrown in there. But I think that's enough to score some points here. And I think the Lions are going to come out and show out. Have the Lions played since they played the Ravens? Had they played another game after that? Or
no, they're coming off a bye.
I know they're coming off a bye, but the last time we saw them was against the Ravens, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I like the Lions have a big-time game this game. I think the Lions can score 30 in this game, and so I only need 19 points out of the Chargers, so I like that a lot. So give me Lions Chargers over 48.5 in this game.
And I look at the spread. It's too small. 1.5. Lions are going to be playing a home game. Lions minus 1.5 is the easiest bet of the week for me. Coming off a bye, after getting embarrassed by the Ravens, Chargers are coming off a really nice victory against the Jets where they look like where they're feeling great. Like, I really like the Lions here.
No, I mean, I love the Lions in that spot as well. The only reason why I'm taking the over is just because, I think the Lions score at least 30. And so I only need the Chargers to score more than 19. And I think that can happen. But, yeah, I love the Lions in that spot too. I just didn't want to double dip on the same game when I already have 7 bets on the ticket. So,
yeah,
the only reason why I didn't take the Lions.
All right, moving on. Giants at Cowboys.
All right. So Giants just lost another offensive lineman and traded away Dexter Lawrence. Cowboys come up very...
Dexter Lawrence is not traded away. Well, I forget his name.
Williams?
Leonard Williams.
Leonard Williams.
Sorry, Lawrence is just an immovable object. So, like, I
wish they would move him.
Yeah. Yeah. But I bet you do. He is incredible.
But anyway, moving past that, starting Danny DeVito at quarterback. Actually, they're not actually starting Danny DeVito, but he might be the better option at this point. Also, just lost another offensive lineman this week. I can't remember who it was, but it doesn't matter. Danny DeVito versus this Cowboys defense, minus 15.5. Cowboys at home, coming off of a heartbreaking loss, a game they should have won against the Eagles. I'm not going to say anything about the refs. I'm not going to say anything about anything. They should have won that game. They had every opportunity to win that game. Everything went against them, and they still had a chance to win at the end of the game. Absolutely just terrible down the stretch. I mean, terrible everywhere. Cowboys should have easily covered +3 in that game. They should have easily won that game. But that doesn't matter. Minus 15.5. I mean, Cowboys are going to destroy this team. Give me Cowboys minus 15.5 this game. I don't care how big the number is. I mean, I feel like this could go like the Jets game went or like the Patriots game went, where when it rains, it floods. And I don't see the Cowboys offense having to do a whole lot. I think this defense is just ready to prove a point. Like, they're going to be so hyped up after last week that, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we get a couple of defensive touchdowns in this game. I love Cowboys for a defensive touchdown. I couldn't find the bet, but I absolutely love that bet this week. Yeah, Cowboys minus 15.5. It's going to be a fucking shit pounding.
I got it. Cowboys minus 16.5, and I still took it.
Yeah, so.
Cowboys are going to take out all their aggressions on the Giants. Like, this is going to be.
Giants are like, bad. Might be the worst team in football.
Like, the Giants, I mean, it's. I was looking at their stats or their schedule just to feel this bet out. Cause I was like, 16.5, it's a big number, right? Like, and
what's the biggest number we had all year? That's gotta be it, right?
Last week they scored 6 against the Raiders, the same Raiders defense that gave up 30 to Tyson Bagen led Bears.
Like, I could legitimately see Cowboys special teams and defense covering the spread without their offense taking the field.
Guess how many points the Giants have scored in their last 4 games?
Combined?
Yeah.
17.
39. So yeah. I have the Cowboys winning this game 39-0.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
only one point less than they won by week 1 when Daniel Jones was still healthy.
Yeah. And their offensive line was healthy at that point, too.
Yeah. So we
give me Cowboys
a question in the chat here. Other than the Chiefs and Eagles. Hi, Calvin. who wins or loses going into the second half of the season appears to be a crapshoot. Crazy.
Ravens.
Yeah.
Football.
Yeah. Ravens got to be up there.
I don't think the Chiefs and the Eagles are the two best teams of football. I would put the Lions up there, but with how the Lions got destroyed by the Ravens, I don't know. I think you had to put the Jaguars in that conversation. I definitely think you have to put the way the Cowboys played against the Eagles in Philadelphia. Yeah, they lost the game, but if you watch the entire game, like I don't really think you can argue who the better team was. I mean, Jalen Hurts was a little banged up. He didn't play great. What did he throw for, like 174 yards? Like, AJ Brown was still AJ Brown, but I mean, outside of AJ Brown doing his thing, like, they couldn't get DeAndre Swift going, really couldn't get Devonta going. Cowboys were able to move the ball on offense. They completely neutralized Jalen Carter, which I didn't think was going to be possible going into that game. And they just lost the game. Yeah, I mean, Cowboys lost the game. It happens, but nothing about that game makes me come out of it being like, oh, I'm terrified of the Eagles. I think the 49ers are always alive with Kyle Shanahan. But, I mean, Chiefs are the Chiefs. They have Patrick Mahomes. They have the best player in football. But, yeah, I wouldn't put the Eagles anywhere close to that after that performance against the Cowboys, because if the Eagles were on that level with everything that went wrong for the Cowboys, they should have ran away with that game.
Yeah, I mean, I can't help but agree. That game was, it was a decision or two away, a coin flip or two away, a, you know, execution or two away from going the other way. Like, it was a Dak not stepping out of bounds away, you know? Like, there was just a bunch of little, not even a bunch, it was a couple little execution type things or coaching decisions that flipped the game. That's not something that I feel like is reliable. So, like, I have no problem with the Cowboys in the same tier as the Eagles.
A lot of toss-up calls that didn't go the Cowboys' way, that went the Eagles' way. And I'll never blame officiating, but, I mean, it definitely played a factor. I mean, they called a pass interference on Stephon Gilmore on an overthrown ball to A.J. Brown when the very previous drive, the exact same play happened with CeeDee Lamb. And
rough.
It was almost identical, and Cowboys were on third down. They didn't get the call. Eagles were on third down and they got the call. I mean, that wasn't the only one. There was a holding play on a Cowboys 27-yard run where instead of first and 10 on like the Eagles 37, it was first and 20 on like the 50-yard line basically. And the dude, the tight end had his hand on the shoulder pad, no jersey stretch or anything, pancaked the guy, and his hand was like 2 inches up too far. I mean, just little things like that. Like, yeah, it happens, but I mean, it seemed like it only happened on big plays. And then every single call the Cowboys got, like, they would get a defensive holding call, but it didn't matter because they completed a 30-yard pass. Like,
yeah,
it just very convenient. But I'm not blaming the refs, but nothing about that game makes me walk away from that game and being like, oh, Eagles are this force to be reckoned with. I think the NFC is completely wide open.
It really is. I mean, this is kind of the year where you see someone random who just like sneaks in the playoffs, maybe get a little further than you might expect.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this NFC. I mean, you have the Lions. I think the Lions are very, very good. You have the 49ers. You have the Cowboys. You have the Eagles. But if we get to the playoffs and you have a team like the Saints or a team like the Seahawks, you're telling me those teams can't go in to a game and beat a Cowboys team, beat an Eagles team, beat a 49ers team, beat a Lions team? I could absolutely see it. I think
the Seahawks could beat any team in the NFC on the right. Yeah.
And then even the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, look what they did last week. Like, just get hot. They have so much talent on that team. I mean, it just takes a couple of breaks.
Do they, though?
Jordan Addison's good. I've been telling you for years now.
Yeah, but Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson isn't a team.
TJ Hockenson, Josh Dobbs,
and now we're talking.
He's having a great season.
You get the Josh Dobbs wagon rolling. I mean, we're talking. But Danielle Hunter's a good player, but like they just lack high-end difference makers all over that defensive end outside, or that defensive side of the football outside.
But if you get in a shootout with a guy with guys like Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson, that's a pretty good spot to be in a shootout. Like I think if a defense can shut them down, you don't have any issues. But if you get into a shootout with that team, it could go either way. Yeah. I'm just saying teams that they could show up any week and do something. Atlanta Falcons, great defense. Don't love their quarterback situation, but the talent's there, the defense is there. Like, they could get hot.
Yeah, if Heinicke just gets on a roll, you never know.
Yeah, I mean, the NFC is completely wide open. I mean, yeah, you do have the Eagles, you have the Cowboys, you have the 49ers, you have the Lions. I mean, I think those are the four best teams in the NFC. I don't think it's even questionable. But after that, the next four teams, I wouldn't put it past any of those four teams to go in and win a road playoff game or a home playoff game if you're the NFC South and make a run. So
yeah, all right, where were we? So
just finished up Cowboys Giants.
Yeah. So going to Commanders Seahawks, and you don't have this one, do you?
I do have this one. It's the last one I have.
What you got?
All right, so Commanders have been playing pretty good ball lately. I like what their quarterback's been doing a lot. He's kind of winning that job maybe for at least another year or two. And I think this is a big time game. Seahawks haven't looked great. Geno cheese is starting to fall off the cracker a little bit for Geno here lately. So give me the Commanders plus 6.5 here. I like the way they've been playing defense. I like the way they've been throwing the ball here lately. I think 6.5 is a big number for a team that's as frisky as the Commanders are, especially against a team like the Seahawks, who you would think their identity would be like running the football. I mean, that's always been Pete Carroll. Just run the football, play good defense. I feel like they've just kind of starting to they've been trying to lean on Geno way too much here lately, and it's been a detriment to the team. And yeah, give me Commanders plus 6.5 in this spot. I love this spot for the Commanders.
I'm on the other side of this. Give me Seattle minus 6. I mean, Commanders just traded away both their starting edge rushers a week ago, and so lost two of their best players. What?
Have you watched Sam Howell?
Yeah.
He's been playing good ball, dude.
That's fine. Seahawks just got dismantled, utterly destroyed, like to the point of questioning everything about your football team by the Ravens. I think they're going to come out real good this week. I don't think Pete Carroll's going to stand for any poor performance there. I think they're going to have everything thought out really well. In Seattle, Washington's got to travel all the way across the country, across multiple time zones, a week after
Washington. Washington just has to go to Washington.
Yeah, yeah. Same place.
That's nothing. Yeah. Washington to Washington is a hop, skip, and a jump.
Well, Maryland to Washington.
No, they're in Washington.
But so I got Seattle here. I think they're going to come. This is a game where they're going to get right.
Who's going to get it done for Seattle? You think they're going to get that run game going? You think Kenneth Walker is going to get it done?
Yeah, I think they're gonna do plenty on the ground. I think Geno's gonna play a pretty good game. I think this Washington defense is missing some teeth at this point. The Patriots just put up 20 points on them last week.
Yeah, no, I mean I think the way Sam Howell's playing, I think they can cover the spread. But Ron Rivera is on his way out the door. I mean, he said it before the season, so maybe this could be where this Washington team falls apart. I don't know, but I mean, I love the way Sam Howell playing football right now. I love the way that offense is rolling. I think they can keep up in a shootout, and I think they can play good enough defense in a close game. So that's the only reason why I'm taking Commanders plus 6.5 here. But I've also been terrible at NFL this year, so that could be a thing as well.
So to that point, I think everyone's been terrible at NFL this year. Most years, the dogs hit about 55%. This year, favorites are hitting at 55%.
I've never had a losing season in NFL. And I think my worst year since I've started betting was like 9 units up. And I've been like way over double digits every other year in the NFL that I've ever bet. I'm terrible. So just fade me. Fade me completely.
On totals, typically you see more overs early in the season and unders start to become the more common thing as the season progresses, like about a third to halfway through the year. This year, the unders have been like 60% so far, which it's just bizarre. That it is all just really weird right now in an NFL betting landscape.
Yeah. Do you have any more games?
No, that's all I got for NFL.
All right. So we can go to our tier maker real quick, then go into some college football bets. And then if you're waiting for the model, you can see that at the end. And you can also get it on shaven-points.com. Go to shaven-points.com. Subscribe to the website. You get all the model picks sent directly to you. Get all the picks sent directly to you, not just model. And if you don't want to subscribe, you can go to the website at any time and see all of our picks. College basketball, college football. When we do have an NBA player, an outside play that's not our main niche, which is football, they will also be posted on there. And then you can also find us on Twitter. And where can you find us on Twitter, Q?
Shaving_points_pod. And we have another message from our buddy Calvin, who agrees should it include the Ravens regarding Dobbs. He's collecting checks every year. Good for him.
Love Dobbs. The pasture not.
How could you not love Josh Dobbs?
How could you not love Josh Dobbs? Okay, we'll get into our tiers this week. First up, we have ketchup/the world champs. Chiefs are just solidifying themselves in the spot right now. It doesn't matter who you have on offense. Nothing else matters. They have a top five defense in the NFL right now. They have the number one player in the league in Patrick Mahomes. Travis Kelce's still doing his thing. They're going to figure something out on that offense there. And if they don't, their defense is playing well enough. And you're telling me if their defense can hold you to 15 and you're up 15-9 with 2 minutes to go, you want to see Patrick Mahomes? Get Patrick Mahomes a high school offense in that situation. I'm taking Patty Mahomes. So Chiefs got to stay in that spot.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Super Bowl? ? Ravens.
Yeah. Ravens are the top of that tier.
Lions.
And then, yeah.
Let's see a rematch.
In there.
See a rematch.
Bengals?
Jaguars.
I would love to see the Jaguars in a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Let's go Bengals.
Man, it's really lopsided AFC, huh?
I mean, that's
the way the season
that's
is.
That's the class of the league. Good record, but frauds. We're going to put the Eagles in here. They have the number one record in the league, I believe.
Yeah, they do.
I wouldn't even say they have a good record, but I mean, Buffalo Bills.
They're what, 8-1?
No. I'm talking about Buffalo Bills.
Okay. Yeah.
I think they're a playoff team, but I also think they're frauds. Miami Dolphins. I think they're Dolphins absolutely fraudulent.
Okay.
San Francisco 49ers. If everything is not perfect, like, I think fully healthy, San Francisco might be the best team in football, but eventually the health luck's got to run out, and it looks like it might be happening for them. Let's see. That might be it for this
yeah. one.
Playoff teams. We got the Cowboys.
Yeah.
We got the Texans.
We got two teams coming out of the AFC South, I think, this year.
Yeah, I mean, sleep on the Texans. let's put in...
It's tough after that. Browns.
Yeah, we can put in the Browns. AFC North. They're going to get... I think they get three in. Let's throw Seattle in there.
Yeah, Seattle belongs.
Okay. Puka Laduka. Let's throw in Falcons.
Yeah.
Let's throw in Colts.
You know Minshew's always going to be Puka.
Broncos. Yeah, I think they've been playing decent ball lately. They're not going to make the playoffs, but they're a little bit better than the rest.
Vikings got to go there, right?
Yep. Saints.
Yeah.
Bucks. Just the entire NFC South. Okay, the rest. Raiders. Green Bay.
I don't know if they're the rest.
I mean, Green Bay's three wins.
I know, but I don't know if they're the rest.
Well, I don't think they're on Caleb Williams or Jake Maywatch either. Well, I mean, you look at some of those bottom teams. Yeah. Washington, Chargers
got to at least be Puka.
Yeah,
they got to. Puka. Yeah.
We'll put Titans in the rest. Will
yeah,
Levis.
Titans, absolutely.
I do like what I'm saying with him.
Your three picks on the final drive last week before he finally threw one.
Jets can go here.
Yeah, they're stuck in that purgatory.
All right, so Caleb Williams, Jake Maywatch, Giants.
Yeah.
Cardinals. Bears, Patriots, the Rams, they're at three wins. I think Stafford's going to come back, but I think let's put them in the rest.
If we're putting Green Bay in the rest, the Rams have to go in the rest, I think.
And then we'll put the Carolina Panthers right next to Michigan State basketball for the Carolina Panthers tier.
I really think, I want to put the Packers and Panthers.
We can put the Packers and the Panthers.
Yeah. Because you're right, they're not on Caleb or Drake May watch, but they're also not the rest.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. That Bears win could come back to haunt them for eternity, week one.
Yeah. Oh, that would be so sweet. Oh, that would just make my heart so warm.
All right, so at the Carolina Panthers tier, at the bottom of the list, we have Michigan State basketball. Lost to JMU in overtime as a 40-point favorite. Love to see that for them. You have the Carolina Panthers, you have the Green Bay Packers, and Caleb Williams, Drake May watch. We have the New York Giants, the Arizona Cardinals, the Chicago Bulls, and New England Patriots. For the rest of, we have
Chicago Bulls and Patriots, both dynasties.
The Bulls would love to have a Caleb Williams right now. The rest, we have Raiders, Washington, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, the Jets, Rams, Puka Laduka. We have the Falcons, we have the Colts, we have the Broncos, we have the Vikings, we have the Saints, we have the Bucks, and we have the Chargers. Playoff teams, we have Cowboys, Texans, Browns, Seahawks. Good records, but frauds. We have the Eagles, we have the Bills, we have the Bills, Dolphins, and 49ers. Super Bowl, ? We have our lone NFC team and the Detroit Lions. We have the Baltimore Ravens. We have the Jaguars and Bengals. And at the top of the list, with ketchup, the world champs. Just stay doing it. We got Patty Mahomes and the boys and the Kansas City Chiefs.
My friend Chris Raines. I agree. Packers suck. Love it.
Hey, Chris Raines. We got to talk NBA here pretty soon. Wemby season.
All right. So let's take this away and let's talk some college football.
Okay. So first up on my college football list, I went 4-0 in college last week. You know my record in college football right now isn't like 38-18, something crazy like that.
I don't know the record. You're up 12 units.
12.
I'm up 8.2 units after gaining the lead. Last week, I was up to 8.4 units. Jay was at 8.3, and he managed to go. What was your record last week?
4-0.
Well, I managed to go 3-3. I dropped 0.2 units. Jay took another commanding lead, so I'm chasing him again.
All right. So, starting out here, I have a Wyoming team that's lost two of their last three. Started out the season great, but looking to get things back on track. Give me Wyoming plus 5.5 going to UNLV. I think they're right the ship here. Give me Wyoming plus 5.5 in this spot. Next up, Penn State didn't look too great against Ohio State. Michigan's got a lot of stuff going on. Michigan is their season rides or die at Ohio State at this point with everything that's came out. I'm sure Harbaugh's been doing a good job of keeping his guys focused in that locker room. But I feel like they feel like their season rides or dies on Ohio State, and they're just going to overlook a very, very good number 11 in the country Penn State team this weekend at home. I think Penn State can sneakily come in and cover this game and maybe even win. We'll see. Give me Penn State plus 4.5 in the spot. Love that spot for them. Next up, I have Florida State against Miami. Give me over 50 in this game. I like Jordan Travis to ball out here. And FSU's defense has shown that they can be scored on a little bit. So I like over 50 a lot in this game. Next up, I have Tennessee, Missouri. It's a pick 'em, basically. I technically have Tennessee plus 1 in this spot. Yeah, I think Mizzou's had a great season, but I think the cheese is starting to fall off the cracker a little bit for them. I think Tennessee has kind of righted the ship from early in the season. I like the way that Milton's playing for him. He's not great. He's not going to be an NFL guy. He's not going to be a pro, but he's kind of calmed down and starting to play good football for that Tennessee team. Give me Tennessee plus 1. Give me Tennessee on a pick 'em in that spot. The next up, it's the guaranteed play of the week. Just close your eyes and take it no matter what. USC, Oregon over 73.5. At this point, I'm just taking USC over every single week. Doesn't even matter. And last but not least, I have an Ohio State team that's kind of coming to its own. And that offense is starting to roll. Marvin Harrison Jr.'s kind of getting in his groove. Give me Ohio State minus 31.5 versus Michigan State. I can see this being a 50-0 typical Ohio State beat down this week. I think Michigan State's one of the worst teams in the Big Ten, one of the worst teams in Power 5. And I think this is a spot for Ohio State to just kind of flex its nuts. A slow start to the season, but all they do is keep winning. And I think this could be an absolute showcase for them on we're here and we ready to play Michigan.
All right. So Going into mine, got Ole Miss going to Georgia. Give me Ole Miss plus 10.5. I think they're feisty. I think they're going to play tight with them. And I've been saying it all year. This isn't the Georgia team of last year, and I still think they're priced like they are. I've been winning bets against Georgia and Georgia. Brock Bowers should still be out, but I've won bets against Georgia and on the over for Georgia games all year. So I'm going to keep doing it. Alabama at Kentucky. Give me the over 48.5 on the season. Alabama's gone over 72% of the time. Kentucky's gone over 67% of the time. It's a match made in heaven. And by the way, on the Ole Miss Georgia game, Ole Miss has covered the spread 75% of the time, while Georgia has failed to cover the spread 75% of the time. Next up, give me Miami. That's Miami, Florida, not Miami, Ohio. Going to Florida State, give me the over 50.5. Miami has been over 56% of the time. Florida State has been over 67% of the time. Duke going to UNC.
Lock it in. Love that.
North Carolina senior day. Drake May is going to show out. He's going to have NFL scouts there. Going to be playing his ass off. Over
there.
You know he's driving the Camry there. Over 50.5. Both these teams have gone over 50% of the time this year, but North Carolina's defense had nothing to talk about, and I think Drake May is trying to make a statement at this point. And then finally, have the USC Trojans going to the Oregon Ducks. Caleb Williams took a lot of heat this week.
Did he?
It's been, oh yeah, for crying.
Oh.
For crying on the sideline. He's been, oh, it's bad.
He's like, emotional boy.
People are ripping him for it.
Really?
Yeah. And
why?
Because they're idiots. But anyway,
it's a big game.
It was. His whole team probably feels like they let him down to some degree. I'm sure
they just fired their defense coordinator too.
Finally, fired their defensive coordinator.
The same defensive coordinator that was at OU with Lincoln Riley for the past 5 years before he got there, so who couldn't stop anybody.
A little bit of accountability into that building. I'm gonna stick with the over 73.5 in that game. So I'm with you on that. Also, give me USC plus 15.5. These boys are going to play. These boys are going to play hard. They're going to play their ass off. They're going in there. Like, Caleb is trying to make a statement, too. I think Caleb Williams might have the best game of his career this week. I really do.
Best game of his career?
Yeah. Impact-wise, like, maybe not stat-wise. I'm sure he's had some wild stat games against, like, you know, Alabama A&M or something. But, like, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about impact on the game.
Yeah.
Off an upset,
just a Caleb takeover, basically.
Unit on USC money line plus 570.
I like that. Okay, trying to catch up. I see.
Hey, that's not even trying to catch up. I just, after seeing the heat that Caleb was taking, I think he's gonna have a fucking game.
I mean, we're talking about a guy that everybody said you're out of the playoff contention. Why even play out the season? I mean, there's been rumors that this guy might come back next year. He's making so much money. I don't know how true those rumors are, but I mean, we keep hearing things that Caleb Williams' dad says. We haven't actually heard his dad say these things. They're just reports that somebody, that his dad told somebody who told somebody. But I mean, if the he said, she said thing is real, and the Cardinals really do get the number one overall pick, according to rumors, he's going back to USC. So just throwing that out there.
Yeah. I'm sure it's not that set in stone either. You know, if...
No, yeah. But I'm just saying. If
the
Cardinals
trade the pick for a fortune, I don't know. You know, it might change something.
But yeah, I'm just saying.
I think this is the fuck Drake May, I'm the best quarterback in the country game.
Yeah, and it's long overdue. I mean, I don't even think it's Drake May at this point. I mean, I think it's the guy he just played against, Michael Penix, which, I don't think you could argue that he's better than Michael Penix, but that loss last week was absolutely brutal. And, I mean, he wore it on his sleeve. He jumped into the stands, cried with his mother. And for some reason, people don't like... 19-year-old kid showing emotion, and those people can go fuck off. But Drake May is about to take over the league, or not Drake May. Caleb Williams is about to take over the league in the NFL. I mean, he's gonna walk into the NFL a top five quarterback, in my opinion.
I really think this is the game that makes everyone say, "How did we have Drake May over him?" Like, I think that's what's going to happen this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. So, yeah, I might sprinkle that money line too. But, yeah, give me the over for now. And I might just take USC money line without even taking the spread before we get to this weekend. So,
boom, there you have it. All right, should we give the people some model picks?
Yeah, let's check out the model for a minute. And then you can always find the model at shaven-points.com. You can also subscribe to the website, have the model emailed directly to you every single day. All you gotta do is go to shaven-points.com for absolute free and subscribe absolutely for free, and it'll be sent to you. So, Carolina, Chicago.
This is how you know that gambling is really weird right now. The model is like so bare. It doesn't know what to do with what's happening right now.
It kind of likes the over in Carolina, Chicago of 39.5. It loves Indy to cover, what is that, +1.5?
-1.5. So the spread shown is always for the home team. So at New England.
So loves Indy to cover -1.5 at New England. It likes the under in the Houston-Cincinnati game of 48. It also likes Houston to cover +6.5. I gave that out earlier. Loves Washington to cover +6. Also gave that out earlier. And it loves the second favorite bet of the week for the model. Buffalo to cover 7.5 versus the Denver Broncos. What is that? Is that Monday night?
Yeah.
Monday night. Is this the last overseas game this weekend on Sunday?
I think so. Which game is it again?
The New England game.
Oh god, that's gonna be ugly.
Yeah.
That's gonna be the end of the year.
Yeah, so it's week 9.
I thought we were already done with the overseas, so I'm pretty sure this is gonna be the last one.
Frankfurt Stadium in Frankfurt. I don't know where Frankfurt is. Apologies to all you overseas people. But
on Frankfurt Avenue.
Sure. 8:30 a.m., which that is Central Time. So 7:30 for you, Mr. Philly. So enjoy it, because I know you don't want to miss out on that Indy New England game.
Wait, no, I think it's – you said 8:30 last week. It was at 9:30 my time.
It was 8:30 Central for us last week.
Yeah, so that's 9:30 for me. Oh, I'm an hour later.
You're ahead.
You had me all screwed up. I was like, I got to get up at 7 a.m. this past Sunday. I was like, I got to get up at 7 a.m. watch this football game.
I always forget because when I go to Pennsylvania, it always throws me off because everything throws me off about time change. But yeah, y'all are definitely ahead. So yeah, it'll be 9:30 for you this week, 8:30 for normal folk that are in Central Time. Central Time's the best time zone for sports.
It is.
I don't think there's any question to that whatsoever.
I agree.
Noon kickoffs, 7:30 prime time, 8:30 is too late. No, especially when you talk about NBA, when you have like 8:30 Central tips, like 9:30 tip for the NBA on the East Coast is ludicrous.
Yeah. No, you ain't gotta convince me, man. I've already noticed. Been here 3 months and I noticed.
I couldn't imagine watching UFC on the East Coast. Goodness gracious. 2 a.m. main events. Kill me. But all right. And I am gonna start getting some UFC picks in here pretty lately. Covers been kind of bare lately for what I like. I mean, so I'm not going away from UFC. I like to find my spots, and I haven't really loved a lot of the spots lately. But we got some fights in the next couple of weeks where I'm really, really excited. So definitely have some UFC here going forward.
There we go. It's coming.
So that's all I got. You got anything else?
Nope. I think that does it for me.
All right. Well, actually, I got one. I got a UFC pick for you this weekend. Give me Alex Pieta. -130 in the main event versus Yuri. I love Alex Pieta in this fight. I love his jiu-jitsu. I love his kickboxing. We haven't seen Yuri since he tore his pec. It's been 2 years. He had a decent performance last time we saw him, but yeah, I think Alex Pieta pieces him up in this spot. And just for fun, let's put Sergey with him. We got Sergey Pavlovich in the main event versus Tom Aspinall. Aspinall's a wrestler. Sergey's a fucking crazy ass Russian dude. Big ass white guy, like 6'7", 260. He's absolutely manhandles people. Tom Aspinall's a dude from England. A great submission artist. Give me Sergey. Give me the big hands. Give me the knockout. And combined with Alex Pieta, it should be about plus 260 on your if you want to parlay them. But yeah, two title fights. Give me Sergey. Give me Alex Pieta. Love that. Plus 260. Go ahead and put it on the card.
Nailed it. Boom.
All right. That's it. Don't sleep on them Texans. Going to make the playoffs.
Don't do it.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
I completely forgot that fight was this weekend. I thought it was next weekend. I was like, let me check just in case.